Amen. It's good to see all of the family here today and those who may be visiting for the first, second, third, or fourth time. We invite you at some point to think about maybe this will be your home, because we do have a work here to do, a ministry to perform, and we do it better when we do it together. So do think about that. Also, too, there is a fellowship after service today. Am I correct? There is fellowship. So everybody's invited to come and to be a part of that time of church. That's still church for us. We don't stop having church because we leave out of this space. Or we're in a couple of spaces before we even get here. We're in a prayer space. We're in a Bible study space. And so, you know, do think about those depending upon what your need is and as the Lord would lead you, that maybe you might want to come and participate in some of that. I want to raise a question with you this morning. If you were to think, and this is audience participation, what is the most difficult book for you in the Bible? What is, and this is personal one for you. I'm talking about one that, you know, I'd love to get that down pat so I could talk about it better. What is the most difficult book for you? Revelation? Anybody else? Or is that pretty much a general consensus? Numbers. Okay. I would agree that if you were to raise the question in other places, that there probably would be a similar answer. And the easiest way to remember Revelation, the book Revelation, that's the last book of the Bible, is that from chapter 6 through 19 is the tribulation and its consequences. So that's two-thirds of the book right there from chapter 6, because there's only 22 chapters. The first chapter is dealing with Jesus coming and visiting John on this island of Patmos, where he's a prisoner. He doesn't look the same way he did before his crucifixion. He had hair like sheep's wool, eyes like burning fire, feet like brass. He didn't look the same, but John knew this was Jesus, this Jesus. In chapters 2 and 3, you have the church descriptions, the commendations, the condemnations, and the counsel from God. So that takes us all the way through chapter 3. And then chapter 4, you have John meeting God the Father in the throne room. It says he's taken up to the throne room. And then in chapter 5, he actually meets the Lamb, who was going, is Jesus also too, who was saying. So he comes in some different forms there. At the other end of the tribulation, in chapter 20, after now the tribulation and the consequences, what are the consequences? Well, evil, just about all of evil except for Satan, is defeated, and the Antichrist and the anti-preacher or religious person is defeated, and government. All government, which is represented by Babylonia, is defeated. Things that man has created that sometimes we get into a worship relationship with. And then in 20, Satan is defeated himself. So what's left? Chapter 21. How many chapters did I say there is? 22. Chapter 21, we get a picture of what heaven's going to look like. First, in terms of us, in no more crying, no more sickness. Wow, that's no more pain. You know, so all the people who sleep with Arthur and arthritis and things like that. You won't have that anymore. You won't have to worry about those things. And then in chapter 22, you have a depiction of heaven as it was meant. And a lot of it relates to the garden. Now, the only problem with that is that chapter 22 only deals with the heavenly portion for about five or six verses. And then the rest of the chapter deals with either. And here's where some question is. And I'm going to let you help me as we go through our message this morning. That is this a message about revelation, or is this a message about the entire Bible? Is this a message that John is supposed to relay to the churches, that God is just speaking about this book and we need to do this book? Or is he talking about the entire Bible? So that's where we're going this morning. I want to preach on the message. We even have a Bible that's called the Message, don't we? And it's written in modern day language for those of you who like something a little bit more palatable to swallow. You may want to read a book called The Message. But I want to speak about the importance of the message. Now, I'll ask you at the end, what do you think that God is referring to, or what the angel is referring to when he tells John what to do with this message? Is he talking about the book Revelation, or is he talking about the books, the Old Testament and New Testament? So in Revelation 22, we're going to look first at those first five verses. Come on and read this with me. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nation. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need light of the lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. So in a sense, this is an ending to what heaven's going to be like. And remember, I said God departs here, and he either talks about the book, or he talks about the books. I want you to tell me, all right? I want you to tell me. All right, the first one. What is the importance of the message? The message can be trusted because it's true. Revelation 22:6 says, the angel said to me, this is John speaking, these words are what? Trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God who inspires the prophets, sent his angel to show his servants the things that must soon take place. Is John talking about the book Revelation, or is he talking about the Bible when he says these words are trustworthy and true? Are you sure?
Are you sure? You mean to tell me all the way from generation to revolution?
No, there is no generation revolution.
But every word in the Bible is true and is trustworthy? Is that why we teach it? Is that why every Sunday we send out the proclamation, come not to see us, but to look at the word of God because it's trustworthy and it's true? Have you experienced that for yourself in every area of your life? Is there any area of your life where it is not true? You know, I've seen many other disciplines where what was taught on one season is no longer relevant this season. In the medical, right, they're always getting new information, and sometimes you can't even use the textbook from even 5 years ago because it's already not true anymore, or it can't be trusted anymore. In many of our history books, we see new information being uncovered. And so what was taught before is no longer the truth now. Are you telling me that the Bible, what it says, is true yesterday, today, and tomorrow? Every word of it? Somebody ought to say amen. I don't care. I was once asked, which book should I start reading first to get an understanding of God? I said, don't make no difference. It's all trustworthy and it's all true. You just need to start reading it. You just need to start believing it because it's all trustworthy and true. I've been through a lot of things in my life. I've experienced things that I never dreamed I would experience before. And many of those things felt to me at the time, this must be it. I finally found it. I have found the highest value in the whole wide world. And every time it has let me down, I have followed race. One of the worst things you can follow is your color. Can I get a witness? And for those of you who have never followed that before, then just stick around a little bit. Our politics love to play in that. I have followed money. I have followed popularity. I have followed power. And none of it is trustworthy. The only thing that I have found to be trustworthy and true is the word of God. His message. All things will fade away, but the word of God will last forever. It doesn't matter where you start. You just need to start and stick with it. And then when you've read it one time, what do you need to do? Read it again and again and again and again. Because you can't understand God. His mind is too big. As Isaiah said, his thoughts are higher than your thoughts. His ways are higher than your ways. You'll never get it all. But to just be able to get some of it, it's trustworthy. And it's true. So that's the first one. I think we're on the same page. The message brings blessings to those who keep the word. Now notice, I didn't say it brings a blessing just because you read it. But if you keep it. In other words, if you do what it says do, it'll take you to higher realms than you've ever dreamed of before. It'll do things in your life that will help you in ways that you can't even think or imagine. Let me just unpack this word blessing for you. Well, maybe I should ask you first. What does blessing mean for you? God's favor Anybody else? God's gifts. You got a new house. You got a new car. God blessed you. I hope it's more than that. Health. The biblical word for blessing, makarios, actually means to be happy or satisfied. That I am happy, I am satisfied just knowing God's word. That I don't care what goes on in my life, sometimes up, sometimes down, but because God's word is trustworthy and true, I'm happy. I'm satisfied. You know, it's sort of like being married. Some of you married folk in here, you probably identify this with me, that every day is not necessarily a lovey-dovey day. Can I get a witness? Somebody said, today wasn't, okay. We didn't ask for testimonies. I wasn't looking in your house. But as long as I know your word, you see, you gave me your word 54 years ago. Can I get a witness? 54 years ago, you say, I love you and I'll never withdraw that love from you. I'll never take it back. In sickness and in health, for better or for worse, you can count on it. I'm satisfied with that. We may have the biggest bet in the world, but as long as I know you still respect me and that you still love me, then that's good enough for me to get right. And I'll just add this for the men in here. Remember to say you're sorry. Okay. It helps. to beat the wife to say, I'm sorry every time, forgive me. Look, I'm coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the word of the prophecy written in this scroll. Do you think that he's talking about just the book of Revelation, or is he talking about all those 66 books? Every one of them. You see, I've got to learn, what does God require of me? That's the first step, to get an understanding of what God does, what God wants of my life, so that I can line up. But I've got to do that part. I've got to line up with what his wanting of my life to be. Jesus says it in Matthew, where he talks about building your life on sand or on rock. I've learned something about sand and rock, and that is they're the same material. They're the same material. The only thing that's different is that sand is loose and rock is solid. It's together. And so where Jesus says that if you listen to my word and do my word, then you'll be like an individual who's building their life on a rock. The rain comes down, the waters rise, and the winds blow and beat against that life of yours, but you'll still be standing. Why is that? Because your life is built on a rock. You ever been beat on top of the head and then beat from the bottom of life and then beat all around you and it looks like there's no way out, but you're still able to stand? Why is that? Because my life is built on the rock. Blessed is the one who keeps the word. Not just study, not just read. There's some folk that are so smart that they're too smart for any good. But those who are practicing
It'll make you stronger. You know, could you imagine spending all that money to send your kid to medical school, but they never practice? Can I get a witness? Or you took your tuition money and invested in aeronautical school where they're learning how to fly a plane. Anybody here know how to fly a plane? Nobody. But they never practice. You see, knowledge is good, but when you practice, it makes you stronger. And God says that his word is not just to walk around with a whole lot of knowledge, but it is to be practiced. It is to do. And so he says, blessed, you'll be satisfied if you keep my word. Chris, my life has changed a lot over the years, but I've learned that I'm satisfied with his word in ways that nothing else can satisfy me. Am I making sense to you? His word is trustworthy and his word is true. But that same word, if I trust it enough to do it, it'll make me stronger in order to deal with life. And this is what I need to make it through. I'm just happy with Jesus. I don't need anything else to make me happy. I don't need any other compliment not to make me happy. We share happiness, and sometimes we make each other happy, but that's not really our job. And that wasn't even in the marriage covenant. I'll make you happy every day. Whoever said that is lying, because there's a lot of days you don't make me so happy. But God's word, I'm happy with. There's a songwriter that says, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every day, it's not that Jesus gets sweeter, because he can't get no sweeter than what he is. But you see, my relationship with him gets better and I get stronger, and it just feels like that. That's the blessing. I'm satisfied. If you don't have that today, you're missing the blessing. If you don't have that today, you're probably searching for something that will make you happy. And I got news for you. There's nothing that will make you happy but Jesus, who is the living word expressed by the written word. Number three, we doing okay? The message stirs worship. Number one, it's trustworthy and it's true. Number two, it'll bless me if I keep it, if I do it. God, work on that every day, amen? And number three, John says, it'll stir my worship. It will get me to really worship. You know, I submit something this morning. A lot of people think worship is this. Or worship thinks that if I can out-sing you, or if I can play the musical instruments better than you, that I'm a better worshiper. When really, if you got to find words for it, you're probably not worshiping. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. So he says, I'm giving testimony here. And when I had heard and seen them, I remember he just got through going through 22 chapters, and he's seen everything from horses flying all over the place to descriptions of beings that we don't even have a name for. He said, but when I saw Jesus, I fell down and worshiped at the feet, when he saw the angel, at the feet of the angel who had been showing them to me. In other words, he had been overwhelmed. But the angel says to him,
Do not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your fellow prophets and with all who keep the words of this scroll. Worship God. God is the only one who deserves our worship. God is the only one who deserves our submission. God is the only one who deserves us bowing down. You really need to know who God is, because if you don't, somebody else will help you make a God of something that will be an idol. Because that's all a God is who's not real. There's only one real God, and that God is Jesus. I am reminded when Peter, who was a fisherman by trade, you remember Peter? He went fishing in Luke 5. He didn't catch any fish, and Jesus said, let me get on your boat. Peter let Jesus get on his boat, probably thinking, you know what, you're a good preacher, but you don't know nothing about fishing, you know. Go ahead and preach from my boat. He gets on there, and Jesus tells Peter, launch out to the deep water and let down your nets. For those of you who are not Bible readers, when he let down his net, the Bible says the fish was jumping into the net from all over the place. That's in essence what it was saying. In other words, so many fish. Now remember, there's no fish out there. He didn't catch anything. But when he did what Jesus told him to do. Oh, y'all don't hear me. When he did what Jesus told him to do. You see, the word is truth. And the word will bless you. It will satisfy you. When he did, look at somebody and tell him, when he did, you ought to just shake your head with it. When he did. Oh, when I did, I don't even have to look at Peter. I remember in my life when God filled up my nets with way, way more than I could think or imagine, and I fell out. Before him, I couldn't even find the words. Oh, how great thou art! You know what? You can take away the music. You can take away the preacher. You can take away everything you want to do, but you cannot take away the message. Because the message leads us to the worship. The message stirs our hearts. John was saying here, and like Peter, when Peter looked at all those fish, you know, John, I'm talking about John that's in our sanctuary. Then when Peter looked at all those fish, he fell with his face down in the fish. You ever fell with your face down in the fish? He said, I ain't never seen Moby Dick jump into my nets before. I've never seen the great white shark. You see, when Jesus says jump in the boat, it doesn't matter. The fish do what Jesus tells them to do. The fish do what God, we're the only ones that don't do what God tells them to do. And Peter looks at his net and he says, you know what? I've never seen anything. How many of you have been there before where you've never seen anything like this before? God, you held my marriage together. I didn't have the skill. I've never seen anything like this before. My money was had gotten funny, and I didn't know how I was going to be able to make it. But I've never seen anything like this before. I'm just saying to you, that God's message will stir worship. Sometime you're riding along in your car and you may be just thinking about the word of God and tears run down your face. Why? Because his word stirs worship. Can I get a witness? You know, real worship, again, if you got to find the words to say, then you're probably not worshiping. Real worship is when you stop. And you just give God the glory. You see, if Jesus was to walk in here today, Osama, I couldn't preach no more. There wouldn't be any need. I wouldn't even have to say, Jesus, will you take over the rest of the sermon? All I got to do is just shut up and just fall down on my knees and say, he is with us. Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? The message is trustworthy and is true. The message will bless me if I do what it says do. Can I get a witness? The message. Oh, don't tell me to go somewhere and we're going to worship and there's not going to be any word. I've gone into some places where they were talking politics. I've gone into some places where they were telling you all about positive thinking. I've gone into some places where the only thing they talked about was how we could just be lebby-debby with one another. Give me the word of God. I want to hear the message of God. I never will forget, and Cheryl will tell you I'm not making this up. We went to a church in Florida. We like to go to Florida during the summer for 2 weeks or so to during Christmas, not summer. Thank you, Sugar. And there was a church there we like to go to. And the young man has been pretty on it every time. We knew we were going to get the word. And my sister was with us, just Annie was with us. And I think Annie was sitting in the middle of Cheryl and I. And the preacher gets up, and I'm not making this up because she'll tell me and tell you if I'm not telling the truth. The preacher gets up and says, I'm not going to preach the word this morning. I'm going to free flow. And my sister went like this. What's that? What's a free flow? Does that mean he's just going to talk? Does that mean he's just going to pull out what happened to him this week? I'm a sinner. This was exactly what she said, didn't she? I'm a sinner. I need to hear God's word. I need to get his correction in my life. You mean to tell me we're not going to get the message this morning? I ain't got no time for no free flow. Give me the word of God. And it was during COVID. They were used to worshiping in the Bible thing, but they tore that down, and so they moved the church way out there. So we had driven like 30 miles outside of where we were. We were already in Kissimmee, and to get out there, and the brother said, we gonna free flow. And all three of us said, I'm sorry, but that's not the way we flow. You see, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I need for you to break the word of God. I came here because I thought that you were trustworthy and true. I came here looking for a blessing. I came here looking for worship, not a free flow. Maybe that might be where our young people are getting messed up today. And that is, they're getting a free flow instead of getting God's word. God, you convict me if I ever just give a free flow. Your word or no word. Can I get a witness? Number three. Oh, four. How many did I say it was? How many truths? May not have said it. Five. The message tells who will be accepted and rejected by Jesus. Is that just for Revelation? Or is that the whole Bible? That's the whole Bible. Man. The message, God's word, is pretty plain. Some people will make it in, and some people won't. And it's not me that decides it. It is God telling us through his word. Plainly, You have to determine what side you're on. Now, this is a lengthy reading, but stick with me now. Come on, let me hear you participate. In other words, we're going to seal it up, but not today, not right now, because people need to still hear it. People need to still read it. And so don't seal it up. A seal means like put a lock on it, sort of speak, which would keep it closed. We're not going to close it up right now. Keep going. Let the one who does right continue to do right, and let the holy person continue to be holy. In other words, there's going to be a time when I don't care how much you preach, I don't care how much you say, there's going to be some that just go their own way. Just like there's going to be some who are going to decide to go the right way. But you don't know that. You don't know who's going to go my way. You don't know who's not going to go my way. But I don't want you to worry about that. Are you with me? All right, keep going. We're going to come back to that. I am coming soon. But Jesus makes, I'm the one who makes the decision of who gets in, who gets the reward, who gets, you don't make it. You're not the one who judges folk. You're not the one who hands this. I'm the one. I'm the one with the power. I'm the one who has the reward. You want to get into the gate? If there's somebody here this morning who's never made a declaration that I want to be in heaven with my Lord, the only way you can get there is if you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. It's the only way you can have the right to the tree of life. Those are the only ones. Jesus said it another way in John 14, but the same thing. Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and I go there to prepare a place just for you. Where is your Father's house? I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. There's no other way. I don't care what they tell you. I don't care how much power you've gained on this side of the river. You can't get in unless I accept you in. These are a lot of bad things, but let me say something to you. There go us. Can I get a witness? There go us. Deacon Brenda said it in Bible study this morning. You know, we sometimes think that we've gotten so good that we forget from where we've come. Those are not your exact words. But basically, thank God. By whose strength? By whose power? By Jesus's. By his word. These folk right here, that's not what will keep you out of heaven. What will keep you out of heaven is not believing in Jesus Christ. But this will ruin your life right here. This will get you killed. Messing with somebody else's spouse. Can I get a witness? Or wanting something, stealing from somebody else's house. This folk, there's some church folk in here got guns. Can I get a witness? I won't even ask you to raise your hand. I'm the one. I am the bright and the morning star. I'm the one
who is the root and offspring of David. You've been looking for, he talks to the New Testament when he says, I'm the offspring of David. But he talks to he speaks to the Old Testament when he speaks about being the offspring of David. But he speaks to the New Testament when he speaks about being the bright and the morning star. I'm the one that you've been looking for, and I'm the one that'll help you to cross. You know, for those of us in here, how many of you are looking forward to heaven? That's just about everybody. Some maybe not so sure about what that is, and that's okay. But what's not okay is to forever be not sure, because this is something that you need to be sure about. It's sort of like the frog in a pot. You know, when you boil a pot of water, they say that the frog will stay there instead of jumping out. Now, why do you think? This is what my understanding is, that the frog stays in the pot because it thinks at some point I'm going to jump out. But it never does. It gets too comfortable in that heated water. And of course, what happens to him? That's where you get your bald frog legs from, right? It stayed there too long. Hear me well. Don't stay too long in indecisiveness. Today is the day to. Today is the day. Today is the day to make a decision and jump out. Now, I'm not telling you that you've got to do it today. I'm not telling you that today is your day. But I am saying this to you. If the Holy Spirit is tugging on your heart, if the Holy Spirit has brought you here this morning and you don't have this, I don't care how much you come here and sit in that pew. I don't care how much you tell people, oh, how great a church it is over there. I don't care how much you say, I think that Bible is correct. Until you have made a decision that Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior, there is no heaven for you. You might as well clap on that, because that's the truth. That is the truth right there. To the black, to the white, to the young, to the old, to the smart, to the illiterate, it doesn't matter. Our last verse, under who gets in and who doesn't. Accept my free gift. It didn't cost you anything, but it cost me everything. Can I get a witness? It cost me everything, and I give it to you. It's your pass to get in. You may not want to be a part of Living Hope, I don't know. But I do know this, any church that does not preach this truth, you're listening to a lie. Can I get a witness? Last one. Well, let's go back over them, okay? Make sure we got them. The message is trustworthy, and the message will bless you if you just listen to it. Did I hear somebody say no? I got to do what? I got to do. I got to keep it. I got to do what it says do. The message will stir my worship. I really get to worship when I listen to the word. Number four, the message tells me who's in and who's out according to what Gainey says. No, according to what Jesus says. He is the door. He is the way. It's a narrow way and it's a narrow door, but if I'm going in, that's the only way. And then lastly, the message closes. There's some good stuff right here. Yeah, matter of fact, you can go and teach this right now. That this is not just an ending of a chapter of a book, but this is an ending
of the chapter of all of the books. This is the word of God in its finality to us. There is no more word coming. Matter of fact, he says it this way. I warn everybody, remember, I just want you to get these. The message closes with a warning and an assurance. What is the warning? I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this scroll. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to that person the plagues described in this scroll. And if anyone takes words away, if you add to it, or if you take words away from this scroll of prophecy, God will take away from that person any share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this scroll. So that's the warning right there. Don't add to it. Don't subtract from it. Can I get a witness? In other words, you got 66 books. You search for it until you find it in those words. Don't go and look at nothing else looking for my truth. Don't go for looking for nothing else to stir your worship. Don't look for nothing else that's going to make you happy. It is in the word of God. I heard a woman, not that a woman makes any difference here, that was preaching on the internet the other day. And I've got a number of women that I like to listen to preach the word of God. But this woman, she said, and tell me if I'm lying here, Sister Gainey, she said, you know, I've got a problem with the Bible. And she said, I think we need a third testament. I almost fell off my seat. I said, oh, let me turn from here quick. Let me get away from you real quick, because you're talking heresy. I just got through reading in my Bible. Don't add nothing to it. Don't subtract anything from it. It is fine just the way it is. Why don't you do this? Why don't you just close up the Bible and make your own third Bible? As a matter of fact, you be the author and the finisher of that work. But don't be trying to confuse people about the 66 books that are in the Word of God. They will satisfy you. They will complete you. If you just do what it says to do, I warn you, don't add to it and don't subtract from it. Can I get a witness? I may not understand it all. I may not get all of the meaning right then. Brother John, I'm going to keep on with it until God gives me revelation. I'm going to keep on studying until God gives me the answer, because I believe, and you know that's another name for the Bible, isn't it? The answer. That all my answers to life are right there in those books. But he doesn't just close with the warning. He closes with the greatest assurance that there is in the whole wide world. He says, he who testifies to these things says, yes, I'm coming soon. This is Jesus talking. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The world may not be like you want it to be. The world may be confusing and conflictual and even disgusting, but that's not your job to fix it. God says, I'm coming back again. And your greatest hope is not today, but your greatest hope is when I come back, because I'm going to make it be just like it is. I'm going to make it so that everything that it was supposed to be in the Garden of Eden, perfect, it's going to go right back there. It's going to be just like God meant for it to be. Trust my word. How many of you believe that? How many of you believe that? Stand to your feet if you do. And why don't you look at the person next to you and tell them, come, Lord Jesus. I can't fix it. You can't fix it. But I know who can fix it. Can I get a witness here? Oh, my heart is glad. And my mind is made up. Yes, I've made Jesus my choice. come. 3 times he mentioned that in the text, didn't he? I'm coming back. His final words to us. Come. I'm coming back. And I'm going to fix it. I'm going to fix the racism. I'm going to fix the different isms. I'm going to fix all of the troubles that people have, because you see, it's not going to be that way. Because he has everything, all the needs met. He's got everything that you would need. There's not even going to be any nighttime. Every day it's going to be Sunday. It's always going to be howdy. Never goodbye. The importance of the message. Is this a message just for the book of Revelation? This is the message of the word. This is the message of the Bible. Thank God for the word. Thank God for the word. Come on, tell me. Number one, the message. Coming back. I'm coming back. You feel like you're shorted? I'm coming back. You feel like things are messed up for you right now? I'm coming back. The importance of the message. Isaiah 48 says, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures. I'm going to ask if our music team would come. I'm going to ask if our counselors would come forward. Somebody has heard the message today, and God has stirred your heart to worship him. The first thing you need to do in worshiping God, let me tell you what the first thing is anybody needs to do. Come on, come forward. Come on up, God. We need you up here. Get you in the middle. I know there's some young people that's here because they like you. Plus, you put on a pound since we saw you. 1 pound. 2 pounds. The first thing you do with God is to accept his love. Not coming, Lord, here's this, here's that. I got it. No, I want your love. I want your love in my life. I need your love. I need you. That's why the songwriter said, I need thee every hour, most precious Lord. I need you. I need your love. Come and receive it this morning. And then for others of us, who maybe don't feel like you've been blessed, so I want to start doing what the word of God says to do. I'm going to keep his word. I'm going to tell you, for a long time, I was preaching his word, but I wasn't keeping it. Yeah, I didn't always keep his word. But today, can I get a witness? Today, I keep his word. I'm doing, and I'm getting better. I'm getting better. You encourage me on, and I'll encourage you on. Won't you come? Won't you come?